Which of you took time during the day last August to observe the solar eclipse? Even though here in New Jersey we were not in the path of totality, I enjoyed sitting with some church members in Overpeck Park to watch, through safety eyeglasses, of course, the darkening of the sun. Of course, we have astronomers now to explain the mechanics of how the eclipse happens. In an earlier time, however, I can imagine how perplexing it must have been for people who lived and worked by the light of the sun. I imagine them having great trepidation over this break from the regular rhythms of light and darkness. Mark gives a number of signs, including the darkening of the sun, to point to the coming of the Christ, sent with the angels, gathering his elect from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. This passage is known by biblical scholars as the little apocalypse, which to me sounds kind of too cute and dainty for what it is. An apocalypse is an experience of the end times or a final destruction. I'm not sure how you can have then a little apocalypse. Does this mean the world ends, but only a little bit? Last week, I was on my way to a meeting when I passed a car accident that had just happened on Broad Avenue. As I slowly rolled past the crushed cars, I rolled down my window and asked, "Do you need help?" "Yes," the woman cried out from one of the cars where the airbag had deployed during the crash. So I stopped my car, but not really knowing what kind of help I could give. Frankly, I was nervous that I would find an injured passenger, blood, someone on the brink between life and death. And I'm not a nurse like several in our congregation or an EMT like several in our congregation, so I was afraid that they might need the kind of help that I couldn't give. As it turned out, thankfully, no one was injured. The call to the police had already been made. So I asked the woman, "What kind of help do you need?" And so she just told me over and over again how she had been riding along in one direction when someone came from another direction and failed to stop at the stop sign and just collided with her and set her off course. She kept repeating that story over and over. "I was going one way and someone came from nowhere from another direction and hit me," and it was just stuck on repeat, this story. Once I heard sirens coming, I gave my well wishes to the drivers and drove on to my meeting. I can relate, though, to that feeling of being headed in one direction when something collides with you and sets you off course. We've all had that happen, whether it's a car accident or a layoff or an illness. We're going along, doing our thing in life, when bam, it happens. And our life is thrown off course. It can feel like a little apocalypse, like your world has just ended a little bit. And that feeling is quite the opposite of peace, which is the theme of the first candle we lit for Advent today. We may feel that sense of chaos on a personal level. We may also see that sense of chaos on a larger scale as we look at the tax bill that will punish the poor and reward the rich, as we read the news and consider what a toxic mix of unchecked ego, unstable personalities, and nuclear capabilities might bring. We look to God and wonder, like Isaiah, "Why don't you tear the sky apart and come down, God? The mountains would see you and would shake with fear. They would tremble like water boiling over a hot fire. Come and reveal your presence to your enemies and make the nation tremble at your power. God, it is about time you showed up." when we are in a mess, is exactly when we need a Messiah. The Messiah, or anointed one, was the one the Jews were waiting for with the expectation that he would come and make things right. The Messiah the prophets predicted was often to come in a military conquering form, coming with swift might and establishing authority among the nations that would create peace, but through the fearful submission of others. I know a studious, introverted woman who adopted a child, imagining her daughter would grow to love quiet afternoons curled up with a book, just like she did. The child who became her daughter is dyslexic, so reading is a source of anxiety for her. And this girl has the kind of energy that fills the room and bounces off the walls as well. Although they have belonged to each other for 12 years now, this mother and daughter still struggle with how to relate with such different personalities. It didn't take long before mother and daughter each weaknesses. But what became exposed in each's vulnerabilities also revealed the other's strengths. Ultimately, they discovered, by each beholding the other's differences, mother and daughter would each somehow become more whole. The God who shows up for us is not necessarily the God the prophets foretold, or even the God we expected. The God on the other side of the Advent doorway is not going to come stomping through the world, making the mountains tremble and the U.S. budget fair and just, ending disease and serving Starbucks gingerbread lattes to everybody. Mark's gospel talks about keeping awake, being ready, waiting at the doorway, because the promised one could arrive at any hour. Just as we look at the world and our lives and the chaos that is in them and think, it's about time God showed up and offered us some peace. The church gives us the practice of Advent. Advent is about time. It's about using our time, these days until Christmas, as a doorway to God. This doorway is a place of transformation. In Isaiah, the prophet advised, "Yet, O Lord, we are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." The time we spend preparing in Advent will actually change us, even as we wait on God to show up. So whether it's following the origami Advent calendar with meditations that Yukiko taught us how to make, or using the communion meal today to feed our longing for Christ, or practicing a moment of silence each day in Advent as a way of centering us, ourselves, and finding peace in the midst of chaos, I am with you in presenting myself at the doorway, waiting for a knock, an invitation to enter, and a chance to be transformed. Jesus is coming, not to end things, but to make all things new. May this Advent form each of us as we stand at the door, waiting and ready to receive Christ. Amen.